everyone, this is your host, Cobra Number One, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network, exposing racism, white supremacy for exactly what it is, so that you and your loved ones can counter this disgusting system. The purpose of this podcast is to eliminate all confusion in regards to racism and what it is, so that those who are classified as black are no longer confused. We broadcast weekly. We try to get the show on Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m., but sometimes we get it out on Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. But it's all right here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Inform any black person you think that may be remotely interested in countering racism or what we're doing. Spread the word. We find this show to be necessary because before a problem can be solved, it has to be identified and understood. And too many black people do not understand racism. Visit us at CobrasInAction.org, a website dedicated to countering racism and replacing it with justice. Because too many black people remain confused about racism, we created this site. Not only do we articulate precisely what racism is, but we also give specifics on how to counter it. Click on the menu tab and listen to archives of The Barbershop. Read articles on racism and strategies and tactics on how to counter racism. And listen to the radio network, Cobra Radio, the network in the world. Once you're on the site, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, YouTube, and SoundCloud. We're always publishing content to all of our social media sites, articles, videos, and music. So please follow. I love to hear comments from you guys. And yes, I do respond. Please email me at cobra.org@mail.com or get at me on Twitter. My handle is @cobra_org. Also, let's start the conversation on Twitter. #racismiswhitesupremacy. We have two new podcasts, Flex Talk, a podcast dedicated to improving the physical, mental, and spiritual health of black people, and Urugu, an analysis of white people. We do Flex Talk on Wednesdays from 11 to 2 p.m. And Urugu is not on a set schedule, but just go to CobrasInAction.org, click the menu tab, and then click on podcasts to listen to any of the shows. We're also on iTunes. Just search for Cobra Podcasts and subscribe. Today, I want to go over black and white culture. In my book, Racism is White Supremacy, I describe racism within the context of human activity, for I feel this is the easiest way for readers to quickly grasp how racism is practiced every second of every day. Culture is what people do, and since doing is engaging in activity, understanding white people's culture is essential to understanding racism, white supremacy, and this is what I will be talking about today on the show. Be right back. Thank you.
stop doing anything that has show-off value. Stop trying to attract attention to yourself by showing off. Because once you get everybody's attention, what are you going to do with the attention that you got? That's a logical question. Remember, I keep saying, all problems can be solved through the process of questions and answers.
Yes.
So you should ask yourself, why are you trying to get people's attention? And what are you going to do with the attention that you got once you get it? In other words, if I'm standing on a street corner and I say, hey, everybody look at my hairstyle. I want everybody, get out of their cars. Park them somewhere and come back and take a look. This is me. I just got a new hairstyle. I want everybody to see my hairstyle. All this stuff that you all are doing, you're wasting your time. Come and look at me. Come and do something constructive in your life. Do something that makes sense for once in your Negro lives. Come and look at me, Neely Fuller. I'm standing on this corner, and I just got a new hairstyle that nobody in the world has ever had. So you need to learn from this. You need to straighten out your lives by looking at me and my hairstyle. Now, so the people come, and they assemble by the thousands, and they look at me and my new hairstyle, or my new tattoo, or my new angle that I use when I sag my pants. I am getting people's attention.
Yes.
So the question now is, now that I have everybody's attention, what is supposed to be what? The constructive result.
Okay.
I should be able to answer that question. What? How has this contributed to making a betterment of solving their problems for the rest of their lives?
Okay.
Victims Guaranteed Qualification, VGQ.
Well, you got to, I'm here to tell you that the only way you're going to stop police brutality is you got to stand up and be brutal with this damn beast. You got to step to this cracker or it will never stop.
Well, I've heard people say, in fact, a person told me some years ago, said, Fuller, you're flying blind. You're wasting your time. The race issue cannot, the race problem cannot be solved. It can only be discussed. And so I thought about that because I take into consideration everybody's statements, and I should. And I said to myself, if the race problem can't be solved, there's no point in discussing it. Just resign ourselves. But then I wouldn't have written a book on counter-racism if I didn't think this race problem could be solved and could be solved swiftly. It's just a matter of pushing the correct buttons. And I try to tell what buttons to push in the book that I have written. And I try to do it on air simply by the process of what? Questions and answers. Because all problems that's made by people can be solved by people through the process of what? Questions and answers. Because every question has a correct answer. No such thing as a question without an answer. And there's no such thing as a problem that can't be solved that's made by people. If people made the problem, people can solve the problem. But what it is, black people have a culture that's not designed to solve problems. We have a culture that's designed to actually glorify the problems that we have and to make new problems. Truth be told, we don't have a counter-racist culture. And I have tried to write in my book, because what is a culture? Culture is nothing but what you do. And we are not doing the things that will solve a problem called racism. We're simply not doing it. Why? Because that's not our priority. We have what we call a black culture priority, and it's mostly to glorify what we have already done and what we are doing now. And it's not worth 2 cents. Why? Because it's not working against the system of white supremacy. That's why.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
True that.
We need a more sophisticated culture, a counter-racist culture. I try to outline that in the book.
but we're not living in that world anymore. Yes, white people are generally better off than many other people. But again, the question really is, which way is the arrow pointing? All of these institutions are not acting on behalf of white people. They are acting on behalf of non-white people. You can talk about this being fair or what have you, but I will be brutally honest with you. Fairness has never been really a great value in my mind. I like greatness and winning and dominance and beauty. Those are values, not really fairness.
Well, in the system of white supremacy, anything that non-white people do nowadays in 2016 that is non-constructive and has a constructive effect on the behavior and the, you might say, the welfare, the well-being of non-white people, the white supremacists are not in favor of it. Otherwise, how are you going to have white supremacy if you're going to have black people oriented, thinking about, having a vision of, working toward, doing things that are of constructive value? And this includes the third area of activity. You don't want any black entertainment to be constructive. You want it to be non-constructive. You want black people to be doing things that don't build up anything. Just everything falling down, everything deteriorated. I mean, you want black people to glorify killing each other, all right, you know, in your entertainment. I mean, you know, if you're going to have an assembly of black people somewhere to get, where they agree to all get together and whatnot, you got to have some gunfire there. You got to have some bodies dropping. You got to have people fleeing for their lives and whatnot after they come together. All right, that's what they came together for. Everybody understands when you get a bunch of black people together, it's going to be something evil that's going to happen. Otherwise, if it's not evil happening, what are we together for? That's got to be a part of black culture. I mean, hey, terrible things are going to happen. I mean, whether it's a soccer game, I mean, you know, and somewhere along the line, people are going to start punching each other out, kicking each other, shooting maybe, or something like that. Or whether it's any event, a big barbecue or something, on the black side of town. And the white supremacists sit back and say, okay, you know how they're going to act. See, get all geared up to have with the riot gear and whatnot. Because, you know, they are very destructive people. And they come together with the idea of being destructive.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they know. This is their habit. This is their culture. See, so we want to do away with that in the compensatory counter-racist era, where we should be dedicated to going with the rest of what we call the infinity. No more of that nonsense. And don't come together with that in mind, and don't even, you know, anything that looks like it's going in that direction, just don't participate in it. Don't go.
Right.
See, let's get down to the doing part. Just say, no, no. If I don't have a guarantee, this is going to be constructive.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Cobra Number One, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Again, I love to hear comments from you guys, and I do respond. Please email me at cobra.org@mail.com or get at me on Twitter. My handle is @cobra_org. Also, let's start the conversation on Twitter. Hashtag racism is white supremacy. Leave your comments, leave your thoughts. All right, before I get started, I just want to say that racism, white supremacy is real. It's not just some cute little phrase that I'm saying for shits and giggles. If you are not convinced of their superior position, just look up the 13th Amendment. See how slavery was never abolished, and how it has morphed into what they call mass incarceration. But when you scratch beneath the surface, it becomes quite clear that it's just flat out slavery. Remember, most black men are in prison for nonviolent crimes and are put there by a criminal justice system controlled by white people, the ones that make all the rules and laws to continue exploiting niggers for labor. Only a people in a superior position can enslave another people, folks. Deal with it. I am working on a book, Racism is White Supremacy. The cover is being worked on, and I'm also working on the album, which will accompany the book. Since music shapes values, I have made an album to also translate the ideas of the book into music so that the ideas can be felt. This album is unique. I don't plead for white people's attention for help. The evidence shows they are not interested. I don't pussyfoot around. I don't bullshit around the problem, which is white people. And I make that point very clear on the album. Now, if you're scared of white people, if you want to drink their bath water, if you want to be held and cuddled like a little pet by white people, get the hell out of here right now. You can stop this podcast and don't buy the album. You ain't ready for it. But if you want to hear racism articulated accurately, then stay put. This book is an introduction to racism, what it is, and ideas on how to counter it. There are several books that need to be read by all black people for a complete understanding of racism. For an introduction to racism, I suggest my book, Racism is White Supremacy, which will be out in the marketplace very soon. Nellie Fuller's book, The United Independent Compensatory Cold System Concept, a textbook/workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of racism, white supremacy, is a must. This is a cold book. It's a book that advises black people to adapt a code. White people live by a code. That's how they mistreat you. So you have to develop a counter-racist code. So Nellie Fuller's book is essential. Every black person should have Nellie Fuller's book. And also, like I said, all these books. You need to have all these books. For theory on why white people behave the way they do, I suggest Dr. Francis Cress Welsing's The ISIS Papers and Dr. Marimba Anais Urugu. I do a podcast on Urugu. I haven't done one in a while, but as time goes on, I will be restarting that podcast. But yes, get Dr. Anais' book, Urugu. You must understand white people. With the election of Donald Trump, it has become painfully clear to me just how lost we are as a people when it comes to racism and understanding that white people collectively intend harm to all non-white people, especially black people. So I'm going to use the barbershop to go over concepts in my book because this stuff can't be repeated enough. We have to get a much clearer understanding of racism because if we do not, if we don't, we will not survive as a people. So let's get into today's subject. What is white culture? What is it? If I were to describe white culture with one word, that word would be exclusive. A core feature of the so-called white racist culture is exclusivity. I always have trouble with that word, exclusivity. This exclusivity can be observed in white people's economic practices. Within the last 1,000 years, there have been four major economic systems practiced by those who classify themselves as white: feudalism, mercantilism, capitalism, and socialism/communism. While these systems are different, the one thing that they all have in common is that in each, The very few control all land and resources, which in turn gives the few control over the majority. In the feudalist system, all the land and resources were controlled by a royal family or a small number of individuals that acquired a territory, usually by force, who utilized those who did not own land or resources to work the land in exchange for a place to live and food to eat to survive. Those who controlled the land and resources lived very comfortably compared to those who worked the land, the slaves or the peasants. In the mercantilist system, the goal of the state was to acquire as much gold and silver as possible, increasing its wealth and therefore, in theory anyway, increasing the well-being of its citizens through investment in public works. Again, this is the government, a small group of people, a small class of people, relatively speaking, justifying control of land and resources globally now for the purpose of producing goods and exporting these goods to acquire more gold and silver. This is the system in which Christopher Columbus and the discovery of the so-called New World happened. And this is also the system in which the Atlantic slave trade saw its beginnings. In the capitalist system, private individuals control land and resources. Yet again, only a small number of individuals controlling land and resources, which in turn allows them to control everyone else. And the same thing with socialism, communism, which was a response, by the way, to capitalism. In this system, now you have a government that is controlling the means of production. But the government is, turns out, in all practice, to be a small group of people who, which we saw in the Soviet Union and what we're seeing now in China, live better than everyone else. And they form some kind of a party, some kind of a political party, and they control everything, not just the economics, but the politics of the country and as well. And they set the tone for society. And this is a small group of people controlling everything. So, again, the point is that, though these systems are different, the common denominator is that Europeans practice them and that they all exploit the majority of people in exchange for giving them the minimum, minimum of needs so that they are able to live their miserable lives, so that they are able to live on the margins of existence, a life barely worth living. This is how Europeans, those who classify themselves as white, those who classify themselves as the white race, this is how they have behaved and still are behaving. This is what they do. This is their culture. Now, what is black culture? What do black people do? Well, every Sunday, many of us, we're at church and we're in the church and we sing and dance and holler all of our problems away. We're told that blessed are the poor and that God loves the weak and that the poor and weak must be patient, for they will be rewarded in heaven. And we sit and we nod our heads in agreement to this sickness, to this nonsense. And then there is a collection plate that is passed around in which black people place their miserable, hard-earned but miserable slave wages, their slave money, to the tunes of millions per week. Not so that it can be put into institutions that can counter racism, homes and resources for single black mothers or victims of abuse, or education centers aimed at solving our biggest problem, racism. No. This money is used so that the message of passivity can continue being preached to niggers to the benefit of white people and their unchallenged practice of racism. Now, what else do black people do? Black people, particularly us men, after we leave church, what do? We sit down for 3 hours in front of the television, some of us 5 to 6 hours. We waste time in front of the television yelling and screaming at other niggas, at other black men running around each other, tackling each other in uniforms with their identification on their backs with some kind of, you know, with some kind of ball in their hands in front of 70,000 screaming, drunk racists. Then we send our children off, you know, for the week to be educated by the very same people that practice racism, where they learn and are forced to accept their position as slaves and inferiority in the system of racism, white supremacy. This is what we do. This is black culture. It is a culture that is completely anti-black, and it does not counter white people at all. And in my opinion, I think this is very sick. Black culture is a shitty culture. Everything about it is shitty. From the food we eat, to the music we listen to our relationships with white people, it's all shitty. We value awards from white people, Oscars, Grammys, Black History Month. These are all examples of black people longing for acceptance and appreciation from white people. This too is shitty. And it's time that we develop a new culture. In my book, I give ideas on behaviors and practices black people can engage in so that we can begin to develop a new culture, a culture that solves our problem, white people. Be right back.
Stop doing anything that has show-off value. Stop trying to attract attention to yourself by showing off. Because once you get everybody's attention, what are you going to do with the attention that you got? That's a logical question. Remember, I keep saying, all problems can be solved through the process of questions and answers.
Yes.
So you should ask yourself, why are you trying to get people's attention? And what are you going to do with the attention that you got once you get it? In other words, if I'm standing on a street corner and I say, hey, everybody look at my hairstyle. I want everybody, get out of their cars. Park them somewhere and come back and take a look. This is me. I just got a new hairstyle. I want everybody to see my hairstyle. All this stuff that you all are doing, you're wasting your time. Come and look at me. Come and do something constructive in your life. Do something that makes sense for once in your Negro lives. Come and look at me. Neely Fuller, I'm standing on this corner, and I just got a new hairstyle that nobody in the world has ever had. So you need to learn from this. You need to straighten out your lives by looking at me and my hairstyle. Now, so the people come, and they assemble by the thousands, and they look at me and my new hairstyle or my new tattoo. Or my new angle that I use when I sag my pants. I am getting people's attention.
Yes.
So the question now is, now that I have everybody's attention, what is supposed to be what? The constructive result.
Okay.
I should be able to answer that question. What?
Should, yeah.
How has this contributed to making a betterment of solving their problems for the rest of their lives?
Okay.
Victims Guarantee Qualification, VGQ.
You don't support interracial marriages?
No, sir.
Explain this one.
Sure. I would start out by reiterating what I said earlier. My position on any issue is what benefit does it bring to the black community? Okay, black women in their situation, lowest marriage rates in the country. What good is it for black men to be marrying non-African women without sisters being dead last for marriage? You see, so that's it. It doesn't have anything to do with hatred for white women or any other women. It's about love for self. Not only that, we got to look at the economic aspect of this. Marriage is a business.
Yeah.
And women live longer than men, black women and white women do. So naturally, if you marry a white woman, you're going to leave this earth before she does. She inherits your wealth. She inherits your estate. She's not going to use any of that money to help benefit black folks. So what you're doing is you're taking away from people who ain't got enough, and you're giving to people who already took enough from us. You see, so from the financial standpoint, I don't see a benefit from it. And then with the children.
Yeah.
So you have biracial children who I'm going to accept as African, you know, as Pan-African.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if a child has an African mother, father, they us.
That's because what they are.
When it comes
right.
to genetic crossover, there's no 50-50.
And as far as society sees it, they see you as black. You're not,
yeah.
If you're light-skinned, you're black. They don't,
yeah.
they don't see you as, I've never seen, and my son is light-skinned, but I've never seen any light-skinned kids called white kids.
No,
they're always
no.
called black kids. If you got black in you, you black.
Because the African gene is dominant.
Yeah,
it's dominant. So when an African gene meets with anybody else's gene, because we're your mother and father and of everyone else, that crossover is going to make that child, regardless of the skin tone, their genetic makeup is going to be 99% African. So there really is no such thing as a biracial child. It's just like chocolate milk and white milk.
Yeah.
You get more chocolate milk. You don't get half
no
chocolate.
No matter what. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So it's us. There's no 50-50 child. Nobody is half black and half white. Nobody.
Yeah.
You're nearly all black because of the genetic crossover. There's no 50-50 split. A recessive gene cannot hold its weight against the dominant gene. You see, the dominant gene takes it over. But even though they're genetically and biologically and ancestrally African, a lot of biracial children end up with issues.
Yeah.
You see, I know because I do therapy with them. You understand? They always feel that they don't quite fit.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you're talking about black and white, because you're talking about the two most politically polarized groups.
Yes.
How am I going to work this out? White folks have done all this to black folks. Black folks can't stand white folks for what they've been through, and I'm half of each. It's a very difficult world to navigate. White families will never accept you.
Well, in the system of white supremacy, anything that non-white people do nowadays in 2016 that is non-constructive and has a constructive effect on the behavior and the, you might say, the welfare, the well-being of non-white people, the white supremacists are not in favor of it. Otherwise, how are you going to have white supremacy if you're going to have black people oriented, thinking about, having a vision of, working toward, doing things that are of constructive value? And this includes the third area of activity. You don't want any black entertainment to be constructive. You want it to be non-constructive. You want black people to be doing things that don't build up anything. Just everything falling down, everything deteriorated. I mean, you want black people to glorify killing each other, all right? You know, in your entertainment. I mean, you know, if you're going to have an assembly of black people somewhere to get, where they agree to all get together and whatnot, you got to have some gunfire there. You got to have some bodies dropping. You got to have people fleeing for their lives and whatnot after they come together. All right, that's what they came together for. Everybody understands when you get a bunch of black people together, it's going to be something evil that's going to happen. Otherwise, if it's not evil happening, what are we together for? That's got to be a part of black culture. I mean, hey, terrible things are going to happen. I mean, whether it's a soccer game, I mean, you know, and somewhere along the line, people are going to start punching each other out, kicking each other, shooting maybe, or something like that. Or whether it's any event, a big barbecue or something, on the black side of town. And the white supremacists sit back and say, okay, you know how they're going to act. See, get all geared up to have with the riot gear and whatnot. Because, you know, they are very destructive people. And they come together with the idea of being destructive.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they know. This is their habit. This is their culture. See, so we want to do away with that in the compensatory counter-racist era, where we should be dedicated to going with the rest of what we call the infinity. No more of that nonsense. And don't come together with that in mind, and don't even, you know, anything that looks like it's going in that direction, just don't participate in it. Don't go.
Right.
See, let's get down to the doing part. Just say, no, no. If I don't have a guarantee, this is going to be constructive.
And, you know, this is coming from, again, we can only speak from our own personal view.
You know, I was an employer in Oklahoma, in Orlando, Florida. I put 300 people to work in the community. Not one black elected official, when that contract was lost, no one said, let's make sure we continue to keep, you know, black people working. Was I expecting them to do it? No. But it just doesn't happen. We fight, we take the easy issues. Let's talk about black-on-black crime. It's much easier for me to stand up there and talk about black-on-black crime rather than talking about police brutality. It's much easier to have a panel of inviting the police into the community to tell us how we need to behave better rather than holding the police accountable on Front Street. Almost
exactly.
A dozen women were raped here in Oklahoma
Obama
City.
Talking about we need to build a better relationship with the police. How can black people build a relationship with the exact same entity that has been designed to oppress them and deny them their rights? The purpose of the police is to intimidate the oppressed against seeking justice. That's why the police are there. You can't build no relationship with the police. That's like asking a woman who's been raped to build a relationship with her rapist, or somebody who's been stolen from to build a relationship with the thief. That is crazy. You never saw nobody ask the European Jews to build a relationship with the Nazis, but they want black people to build a relationship with the police. And we said we're not doing that. We unapologetically African. We're going to stand up for what's right. And no Uncle Tom bootlegging and Negro is going to make us take the line of least resistance, because that's gotten us nowhere in 50 years.
Big. Welcome back to the show. Like I said earlier, I love to hear comments from you guys, and I do respond to your comments. Please email me at cobra.org@mail.com or get at me on Twitter. My handle is @cobra_org. Also, let's start the conversation on Twitter. #racismiswhitesupremacy. I want to conclude by making a few comments on some of the happenings of the past few days. I was reading the Huffington Post, and I ran across an article praising Moonlight, that black film that won the Oscars last week, praising Moonlight for subverting stereotypes of black masculinity, which it says causes spiritual damage to gay men. Okay, first off, I don't really think, you know, black masculinity is all over the place. And I think this is part, you know, in part what's wrong with our culture. We don't have no black masculinity because we haven't sought out to develop a culture to include how are black men supposed to act? What is a black man? There's no universal standard. And I'm saying there should be one. And to the extent that there is an appearance of one, it seems that this article is attacking that, saying that that's responsible for spiritual damage of gay men. I don't think gay men are spiritually damaged by the little real black masculinity that exists. Because like I said, you know, we don't really have no black masculinity because there's no universal code as to what that is. Black men are confused. That's part of the problem. But again, this article is saying that to the extent that we have that, that's an issue, and that causes spiritual damage of gay men. No, I argue that is not the case. Gay men are spiritually damaged, most of them, because they are not supposed to be that way. That's what it is. Now, sure, you know, I've written articles on homosexuality, and I say it, and I will continue to say, is it plausible? Is it possible that some people just, you know, without being tampered with in any kind of nefarious way at all, prefer the same sex? Sure, I said that. And I believe that because of the simple idea that, hey, you know, it's something that can be done. Anything that can be conjured up by human beings was meant to be to a certain extent, or else God wouldn't have made it be so. Period. So homosexuality, men having sex with men, women having sex with women. These things are capable of being done. And so since they're capable of being done, then they're subject to having a certain preference amongst each individual. Each individual, I should say. You know, people can have a preference as to whether or not they like gay sex. It's an option out there for them. And some people may, for whatever reason, may say yes. I prefer having sex as a man. I prefer having sex with other men. I prefer being in a relationship with other men as opposed to women. That is an option out there. And some people may, on their own, may just prefer that. That's not the point here. I'm talking about a culture in which Black men are confused about their masculinity overall. This is incorrect. This does nothing in countering racism, white supremacy. As a matter of fact, this perpetuates racism, white supremacy, because if you have Black men confused about what their role is, what they're supposed to be doing, I guarantee you they are not effective in countering racism, white supremacy. They are not effective in countering white people. You see, let's clear this all up right now. Black masculinity is a good thing. We need to develop what Black masculinity is. And central to the idea of Black masculinity is countering white people, particularly white men. And this is why white men go out of their way to keep Black people, women and men, confused about their sexuality. Because again, if you're confused about your sexuality and just your basic responsibilities within your sex, you are not countering racism, white supremacy. You're trying to figure it all out. You're fighting amongst yourselves. You're pointing the finger. You're pointing your fingers at each other. Black men, Black women squabbling, not getting along. See, this all comes from our confusion as to what we are, adopting European values, ditching our traditional African values, seen as a threat by crackers. This is why it's important for you to understand your history. You will know that white people, particularly the men, have an interest in keeping Black men as confused as possible, and as what some people will call as feminine as possible. Scared, not willing to take action against those who are oppressing them, but only willing to, call some newspaper or ask the authorities if we can get out, and if we can, we can get out on Sunday for, 2 to 3 hours on maybe Stewart Avenue or Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and hold up little signs, little ragtag signs that we were able to make with our miserable dollars that we earned throughout the week for our wages, and plead with crack, please stop hitting us. Please stop hurting us. Please stop mistreating us. See, this is what, men ask little boys. That's really what we are. Boys asking for permission to slightly point out, oh, well, on this date here, you kind of mistreated one of the members of our race, of our so-called Black race. And we just want to bring this to the attention of the world. Can we please, let's say, be granted maybe 2 to 3 hours of public time and public space to get out and make our grievances known? And then the crackers, they sit back and they say, all right, you know what? It's ineffective. It's not going to do anything. These niggas, they've been doing this for 50 plus years and they don't understand. It gets them nowhere because nobody cares. Sure, let them have their 4 to 5 hours of so-called protest and let them sing and dance and shake their ass, just until their little hearts just bleed out. Let the whole world know that, yes, on this date, this nigra was mistreated by a member of the white race. Let them get it off their chest. And then, after the ceremonies are over, after a number of them have, sold some of their mixtapes, some of their rap mixtapes, some of their nigga music rap mixtapes, after a number of them have gotten on cameras and ran their mouths and promoted their websites and their little shitty blogs, then we'll tell them to go back to their miserable nigger neighborhoods and to keep their mouths shut.
until the next time we decide to mistreat one of them again. This is how it is. This is what happens when you have people who do not understand that, yes, at sometimes you need to be ready at any time to take bold action against those that mistreat you. This is what, and traditionally throughout any culture, the men have been the ones to take this action with men, or, you know, with women equally assisting and playing their part and providing much needed assistance in men getting this done. You see, men and women are equal. Not no European shit where, you know, man head of the household, which means that, you know, I say this, woman, you do it. Absolutely not. That has not been the African tradition. That's been what Europeans have been doing. And now niggas have adopted the ways of Europeans. That is not traditionally African. Don't fall for that. Men and women are equal, and we have equal roles to play. And it's a harmonizing kind of effect, you know, when we're in our element, but we are not in our element. Part of what, you know, it's very simple. Essential to being a man, and this is what we need to talk about in developing a new black culture. Essential to being a man is protecting, is being able to protect your physically, is being able to protect your house, is being able to protect your home, protect your wife, your children. This is essential to being a man. Men like to be doing things, like to be working with our hands, you know, being active, you know, wrestling and learning how to fight and just being active. This is why men go to war. Give men something to do. You don't traditionally for a reason. You don't. Societies haven't depended on women to go off and fight the wars. It don't even make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's using common sense. Men are bigger, stronger, faster. Women have children. Raising the children is important. It is as important as a basic man's duty of protecting the house. Just as important. Don't let Europeans trick you. Women confused. Trying to have penises like me. I mean, I don't know what's going on. It's sick. Women have certain roles. Men have certain roles. None of them are better than the other. It's supposed to have a harmonizing effect, fool. Stop letting these Europeans, stop letting these crackers fool you. Joining their white women's liberation movement. This is sick. And I will be talking about this in a second. Hold on. I'm going to get on that in a second. Let me just finish up here on this praising of the movie Moonlight and this attack on so-called black masculinity. There's not enough black masculinity. We need to, I say this all the time here on The Barbershop, every time I record an episode, black culture, there is no black culture. It's a shitty response to how we've been treated since we've been taken from our land and brought to this miserable toilet bowl that is called the West. It's been a response to our mistreatment. That's all our culture has been. We need to develop a culture. We need to take time to hammer out what we should be doing. And part of that is defining our roles. What should men be doing in this culture? I have some ideas. You know, I have some ideas. No more of this fat stuff. It's time that we all get in shape. You know, every black man should strive to every single day run, a 1 mile, maybe 2 miles every single day, or do the equivalent in a workout. It's time now that we, your host, Cobra Number One, I'm getting myself into shape. It's feminine to sit here and be fat, out of shape, you know, not being able to do anything. That is not masculine. That helps nobody. It's time now that we correct this. It's time that we get our diets back, because the foods that we're eating are shitty. The foods they're causing cancer. They're causing us to be stressed. They're not doing anybody any good. They're causing us to be fat, lazy, can't even open a book because it makes your head hurt. That's part of your diet, fool. It's time now that we take back our diets. Black men need to learn some kind of a martial art. None of this pussified stuff. Black men need to learn how to shoot guns. None of this bullshit you hear. Let's put all the guns away. Let's make all, we don't want to deal with no firearms. Oh, no, that's not Christianly. That's sick. What are you doing? What are you doing preventing yourself from using a tool that's made available and that can be used against you? What kind of, and given the fact that people don't like you and are willing to use that tool against you. And by saying that, oh, no, well, it's not Christianly. You don't need to touch no gun. Ooh, no, God don't like that. Yeah. You just gonna pray about your problem. So when that cracker gets out of that car, you know, when you in that road rage incident, and then he gets out of the car and pulls that gun out on you, you just pray and everything will be all right. Thank you now. And then they blow your brains out, and then the community gets together and sing a whole bunch of hymns and do a whole bunch of singing and dancing, praying for the family. And then they forgive. They ask everyone to forgive the cracker that shot this innocent black man on account of his road rage. And then you have niggas all across the globe that are forgiving and praying for this white criminal, as opposed to 50,000 niggas getting guns and looking for and finding this cracker and bringing him justice swiftly. That's black masculinity. That is what white people do not want. They don't want niggas doing stuff for themselves constructively, and they don't want you being a threat to white men. They want you, you know, anything you need, just call on Massa. That's right, little Ezra. We'll take real good care of you. You just stay nice and calm. Good little pet. Good little nigga pet. That's what they want. And we fall right into it. We really do. Before I close out, I want to mention there's a book. It's called Feminizing Black Men, An Assault on Black Manhood. It's written by Dr. Wesley Muhammad. I suggest that you all pick this book up right now. Get this book right now. You need to understand that something has to account for just this recent, there's an increase in confusion, sexual confusion amongst black men, particularly. There's an increase in homosexual behavior. There's an increase in just black men looking to not be what traditionally we would consider masculine. Something has to account for this. This book does a really good job in explaining white people's intent and their action through policies and through chemicals, through food distribution, etc., how white people are going about emasculating black men. That's what this book is talking about. Through chemicals, through policies. The book is explaining through examples. It gives a historical context as to why white people, white men in particular, are so interested in black men and black men's masculinity and undermining black men's masculinity. If you read Dr. Frances Kress Welsing's ISIS papers, she makes it very clear. White people are fighting for their genetic survival. You, as a black person, your genetic material is superior to that of a white person. Now, that all this stuff shouldn't even matter, but you're talking about a people that thinks within the context of skin color and who derives and who justifies their mistreatment of you by their skin color. And their claims, and they have a claim of superiority to you using their skin color, through their skin color. So If your genetic material is superior to yours, meaning that when black and white gets together, the product is not white, the so-called superior race, the product is a child of color. It is a black child. So if you are thinking within the context of white superiority, this is disgust. This is just repulsive. It is as repulsive can be. It's disgusting. It makes white people sick. It makes them mentally, physically, spiritually sick that their genetic material is inferior to the genetic material of a person classified as black. And so you have to understand that as a black man, you are seen as a threat because of that alone. They call it white genocide. Integration is white genocide. This is the mindset of these people. And Dr. Muhammad brilliantly lays this stuff out in his book. The highest levels of government that are concerned with population control have been since we've been here. They've been concerned with the Negro problem. And he goes in depth into the history of presidents giving comments, giving thoughts on the so-called Negro problem. Why is there a Negro problem in the first place? It's because white people are concerned with their genetic survival. They don't want to be wiped out by black folks, to make it plain. And last but not least, I got about one more minute here. Want to touch on very briefly International Women's Day. Big ass joke. It happened yesterday. Whole bunch of white women on television bitching, moaning, complaining. Oh, yes, equal pay and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we're not treated and we're minorities and blah, 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 blah. And notice, nothing but white women. Now, these white women, they say that they're for the equality of rights of all women. Number one, this is an issue because you should be for the equality of all people. And see, that lets me know that really what these nasty white women want is that they're not really concerned about equality. What they're concerned about is the transfer of power from white men to themselves. That's all they care about, these selfish, nasty white women. And I see black women out here, niggas, confused. If you are a black woman, stop standing with these stupid ass, privileged ass, racist feminists. Have some self. Your problem as a black person is white people. And here's the kicker. These white women, they're minorities. They've been accepted as minorities and they're treated as such. See, see, white people are so smart. Good little, clever little wasps. They make me sick. And it makes me even sicker that black people keep falling for this. Now, white women, they are treated as minorities. They are treated as someone who has been oppressed. And technically, they have been oppressed by their white men. This is white culture. This is part of their culture. However, isn't it funny that the same materials, the same resources that you're fighting for, using your oppression as a black person as justification for these resources, these white women are fighting for, and they get them, and then they go right home and they combine their wealth and they combine their fortunes and what have you with the same people, white men, that continue to oppress and dominate all of us, forming a tag team of domination and continuing, both of them, white men and white women, their domination over you. Let me say it again, just in case you missed it or maybe I wasn't clear. White women are married to white men. White women, when they are categorized as minorities, they are treated as minorities, like black people, under the idea that they have been systematically left out. So that means that they are getting some of your resources, a lot of your resources, because white women get most of the benefits of affirmative action and all that. Now, but these women are aligned with and are part of the group that mistreats everyone, including you. But yet they're being granted resources and being labeled as part of the class of people that have systematically been mistreated when they are part of the systematic mistreatment themselves. because they are in marriages to white men. They are white people. This is sickening. And we need to understand this. White women are not minorities in the sense that they claim to be. They are not systematically mistreated. That thing that they have going on with white men, that is their culture. They are justifying taking the resources that should be allocated to you by claiming that they themselves are mistreated. And they get most of the resources that's supposed to go to you. And then they turn around and they continue to be a part of your systematic mistreatment, something that they themselves claim to be victims of. That's sick. It's smart, but it's sick. It's sick. So we better understand this, or we will just continue being dominated. All right, that's the end of the show. I hope you all enjoyed it and found it constructive. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. When I come back, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but we'll figure it out in a few weeks. Make sure you get at me again. That's you can mail me cobra.org@mail.com. You know, you can get at me at Twitter. That's Cobra. That's at cobra_org. And let's continue having Let's continue having the conversation about racism is white supremacy. Hashtag racism is white supremacy. Folks, I enjoyed it. Please remember, catch the show every Wednesday, sometimes Thursday, from 5 to 6 p.m. here on cobrasinaction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. And archives of the show are available on www.cobrasinaction.org. Until next time, you all take care. This is your host, Cobra Number One, signing out. Peace.